On the live line with us right off the bat, 5th District Supervisor Linda Hopkins. Good morning, Supervisor Hopkins.
Good morning, Pat.
We don't need a busy week like this every other week, it seems like. But here we are, recovering from the flooding, and now with the local health emergency declared, it gets a little more interesting, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, and the good news is that the state has been fantastic when it comes to hazardous waste disposal. So they actually have teams deployed in the field, and they are actually, with the public health declaration, they'll be able to actually go onto private property to remove hazardous debris. So that would include propane tanks, you know, paint thinner, chemicals, those kinds of things that could be toxic if they wound up in our environment.
So when will this begin to happen from a curbside standpoint?
My understanding is that it could happen as early as today, and we are just trying to, you know, where our public information officer team is going to be putting together a list of what is and what isn't considered hazardous waste, and so then we'll be encouraging residents to make it, you know, at least visible from the roadside so that the teams can come in and get that and remove it and, you know, put it where it needs to belong.
And this should be all flood-related material, correct?
Correct. Yes. This is, you know, things that were in the floodplain that were affected by the floodwaters and need to be disposed of.
Yeah, for a lot of people, that's stuff from their neighbors upstream that it lands in their yard, right?
One of the biggest complaints that we got early on, right as soon as the floodwaters receded, was there's a giant propane tank in my yard. What do I do with this, right?
Yeah.
It's something that's incredibly heavy and difficult to move. Obviously didn't belong to you, and now suddenly you have a large propane tank in your backyard.
And Supervisor Hopkins, I know you've been calling for it repeatedly on your Facebook page. What is the status of the volunteer effort up there in terms of the cleanup?
We've gotten, you know, a few really wonderful offers from community groups. We do have the volunteers from Clean River Alliance doing their fantastic work. We have the Center for Social and Environmental Stewardship, run by Che Kazul, who's a local West County resident, also deploying folks into the field. And we've gotten some actually outreach from broader community, so from some veterans groups, from some Buddhist groups who are going to be sending whole teams in. And so we're trying to direct them to some of the hardest hit neighborhoods. I was on another drive-through this morning out checking in on the communities, and the Hacienda area in Forest Hill is really hard hit. River and Forest Hill Drive, it's just, I mean, almost feels like a tunnel of trash as you go through. It's become a dumping ground, and that's just so demoralizing, right? You just went through a big disaster. You know, you walk down your road, you drive down your road, and it's just covered in debris. So we're going to try to be deploying these volunteer groups to some of these really hard-hit areas in hopes that they can make some progress.
What about the hillslides in the Hacienda area?
I actually was just texting two of the residents, and they have not been out there yet this morning, but I was up in the middle of the night thinking about them with all the rain pouring down, and just hoping that the hillside didn't move. It's a really scary situation. You know, the houses are literally on an active slide, and there's a road there that's the only way in and only way out, you know, for about 70 residents beyond that. So it's a frightening situation, and we're doing everything we can to help them. We got out and we were able to do some tree cutting, you know, because there were some trees that looked like they were going to go down on top of people's houses, some vegetation clearing, some drainage work to try to see if, you know, we could get the water to go around more and to, you know, to try to help with any slope stability that we could.
And talk about what's on tap, what will be on the table for tomorrow's special meeting of the Board of Supervisors.
So tomorrow, we're really going to tackle this topic of debris removal. You know, staff has been working to come up with multiple options. We've had some challenges with the way that it's handled by the state and federal government. And so we're trying to figure out how we can actually get into the neighborhoods and help those people who don't have access to a pickup truck, right? We have these free dumpster locations, but we have so many seniors on fixed income, and they have a, you know, little small sedan.
You got to get there.
No way that they can get the debris there, and they're also not even really physically strong enough to do that work by themselves. And so that's why, you know, we're starting with a volunteer, but we really do need an ability to get into those neighborhoods and clean up the debris for people who can't figure out a way to handle it themselves.
What will it take to free up some county funds to expand this effort?
Well, the really hard thing is that, you know, we are in the red right now, you know, having gone through the fires and really needing to do some work to pay our employees a living wage in Sonoma County. We're not actually cost competitive with other counties right now. It's a really, really hard budget year. And my colleagues on the board who went through the recession are sort of likening it to how the budget was during the recession. But this is a basically disaster-induced recession that we're facing. So it's really hard being the second disaster after, you know, a major catastrophic disaster with our fires. But I have identified some redevelopment funds that might be able to be used, the former redevelopment, you know, back when we had redevelopment agencies, possibly some roads reserves, and possibly some contingency funds that we have access to. We don't have very much left for this fiscal year, but we do have a little bit, and I'm hoping to cobble together some of these funding sources to help deploy some of that help.
Yeah, it takes it's kind of a needle in a haystack kind of situation. You have to search very carefully. Will there be an extension to the local assistance center or the debris sites?
We're basically sort of in wait and see mode. So every single day we're tracking how many people are using the LAC and also how many boxes are being removed from the debris sites. So if we, you know, start to sort of see a decline and it seems like, you know, people are have pretty much received the help that they need, then, you know, we will likely shut it down. But if the demand continues to be high, we might consider extending it. So we're monitoring it very carefully and we're trying to meet the need but not, you know, expend resources when the need is no longer there.
And Supervisor Hopkins, you make special effort to stay in touch with your constituents, especially in a time like this. What are you hearing and what are people feeling right now?
I think that the biggest thing really is the dumpsters. That's sort of the immediate need. People, you know, really want the trash to be gone because it's just kind of this horrific reminder of everything that they just went through. But I will say there's a tremendous amount of fear and trepidation right now. You know, we have renters who are displaced from their homes because they've been yellow tagged or red tagged. They have nowhere to go. Some of these people also lost their jobs because the small business that they worked for is also in recovery mode. And so, you know, I mean, we're literally at the point of just trying to find people hotel vouchers. There was a family with four children that people kind of learned about on social media yesterday and, you know, were able to, someone kindly and generously donated a couple of nights at a local motel to put them up. But literally this mom with her kids was about ready to move into a tent. And so, you know, I keep hearing stories like that and it breaks my heart. And even just, you know, you drive around the river, you see people's lives by the side of the road. You see a grandfather clock, you know, a cat condo, an entire collection of records, photographs. You know, these are cherished belongings and they're right now just out there, you know, sitting, deteriorating in the rain. It's hard. It's really heartbreaking.
And are there funds available, some sort of emergency funds to take care of the immediate needs of those kinds of folks?
You know, the Red Cross is here, and we're hoping that they are accepting applications at the local assistance center for financial aid, and we're hoping that that comes through. You know, of course, we're still trying for a federal disaster declaration that would open up individual assistance to people. It's not clear whether that will happen or not.
Right.
And then we have different local nonprofit organizations that are coming together to step up. And I do want to mention the United Way of the Wine Country,
yes,
run by Lisa Carreño, just set up a fund, and they are looking forward to partnering with the local nonprofits in the river area to help people get back on their feet. So definitely check that out. And if you have a few dollars to give, we would really appreciate it because there are some people who are in a world of hurt and they don't really have anywhere to go right now.
Yeah, that's UnitedWayWineCountry.org will give you access to that fund. And they were in the studio yesterday morning with us, and good for them. Supervisor Hopkins, welcome back from maternity leave, and man, you got thrown right into it, as did everybody else who lives in West County. How's Sebastopol doing? Let me ask you that before we take off.
I actually was just texting Nisa Hinton, the mayor there, this morning. You know, the Barlow was hit really hard, and we were just discussing economic impact. Some of those businesses, you know, Community Market, Village Bakery, they employed 60 and 70 people. Those are, you know, local residents who are now without a source of income. And so she's really concerned, I know, about the employees, of course, as well as the small business owners who pour their heart and soul into it. You know, it's really their passion. It's their livelihood. It's what they care about. And to see all of that damage at the Barlow is just truly heartbreaking.
Yes, and so the beat goes on in terms of recovery. We know it doesn't happen overnight, no matter what you're recovering from. Supervisor Hopkins, thanks for being with us. We'll talk with you soon.
Of course, take care.
All right, that is Supervisor Linda Hopkins representing the West County, hardest hit, of course, by the flooding situation. And it will be ongoing, and we will keep you posted.